Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll find out what the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the Minnesota National Guard is doing to prepare for their upcoming National Training Center rotation, and we'll get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on programs and services. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During the month of May, we honor and celebrate National Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. As Representative Keith Ellison said, you can't really understand America without understanding the contributions of Asian Americans. Some of the significant contributions that Asian Americans have made to our society are through their participation in the armed forces. For example, in Minnesota, we have a significant connection to the Asian American community's participation in the armed forces. According to the Twin Cities Japanese American Citizens League, many Japanese Americans who served in the military intelligence during World War II were educated at Camp Savage, Minnesota. The students received accelerated training as interrogators, translators, and interpreters. Military commanders later wrote that the graduates of this program may have shortened the Pacific War by as many as 2 years. The much vaunted and storied 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army, which was an American-Japanese unit, has a significant connection to our own 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. The 442nd was a self-sufficient fighting force and fought with uncommon distinction in Italy, southern France, and Germany. The unit became the most highly decorated regiment in the history of the United States Armed Forces, including 21 Medal of Honor recipients. The 442nd fought alongside the Red Bulls during the Italian campaign of World War II. I salute our Asian Pacific American community. You have and continue to contribute significantly to the United States of America.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel Robert Interest is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, of the Minnesota National Guard, and he also serves as the full-time Director of Manpower and Personnel at Joint Force Headquarters. In June, the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team will begin its historic National Training Center rotation at Fort Irwin, California. This training, usually reserved for active duty units, will be the culmination of 2 years of intense training and diligent planning by the soldiers of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team. The Army National Guard receives one Brigade National Training Center rotation slot each year, and the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team was selected for a 2016 rotation, largely because of its impressive readiness posture. And joining me now is the commander of the 1st Brigade Armored Brigade Combat Team. I'm sorry, sir, that armored is messing me up. Colonel Robert Interest. Colonel, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me back on.
Sir, the last time I was talking to you, it was the 1st Brigade Combat Team, and now it's the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, and sometimes that doesn't roll off my lips too well. So,
the one thing we can always be aware of is there's always change in the Army. So,
sir, how long have you been in the military now?
I am in my 30th year of military service. Joined enlisted active duty in 1986.
And you were commissioned in 1990, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're in the position now where you are the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, which is part of the legendary 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, part of the Minnesota National Guard. That's a great position to be in, sir. You must have done a lot of things right to get there.
I have been very fortunate in my career, Tom. I've been surrounded by great teams and soldiers, NCOs, and officers that it's all been a team effort, and I'm humbled and honored to be able to lead the brigade during this exciting time in our history. It's just, it truly is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me and really for the brigade as a whole.
Sir, we've had a lot of officers on talking about the brigade over the last 5.5 years, and even the entire division, legendary division, going way back. But recently, you've had tours in Kuwait, and recently I think Colonel Kurska was part of that and helped escort our troops out of Iraq, millions of miles driven, and brought everybody home safe. And now you're in charge of the brigade, and we're coming up on what's called the National Training Center rotation. It seems, sir, and I'm not quite up to date on this, but it seems like the Minnesota National Guard and your brigade are kind of at the top of the heap, if you will, across the Army in terms of what you get to participate in the last couple of years, and especially with this NTC event?
You know, you're absolutely right, Tom. The Red Bull division has got incredible brand recognition in the Department of Defense, specifically the Department of the Army. And we're, you know, the soldiers in 1st Brigade are really benefiting from that Red Bull brand recognition. And that's come, you know, with a tremendous amount of hard work from all the people that have come before us and the leadership today, from General Loydalt, the division commander, on down through his staff and all the subordinate commanders. You know, our selection for the NTC rotation is really a testament to our number one national rating, readiness rating of all of the brigades in the Army National Guard. And so 1st Brigade has been number one for about the last 3.5-4 years, and we were specifically selected for this NTC rotation because of our readiness rating and the professionalism of our soldiers. And, you know, every time the 34th Infantry Division or one of its subordinate brigades are invited to participate in an exercise, it almost always leads back to a re-invite next year and a by-name request by combatant commanders around the globe that want Red Bulls back with them because, you know, the soldiers, the NCOs, and the officers are just consummate professionals every day.
And, sir, can you describe to our listeners this National Training Center rotation that you're going to go to in June? Is that the top training event in the United States each year?
It is for Armored Brigade combat teams. I mean, the NTC, the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California, is in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And so it's a pretty austere place, but it really is the most complex training environment that the Army has to offer, that Department of Defense has to offer for Armored Brigade combat teams, units like the one I command. And it is the only place in the military, in the United States military, where all of the Army's weapon systems can be used both in a training environment and in a live fire environment. And it, with our joint partners from the Air Force and Navy and, you know, all of the joint forces can participate there. And for the listeners that aren't familiar with NTC, you know, you can find it on the web through Google, but NTC is about the size of Rhode Island, and so it is the only place that a brigade my size can go and fight a realistic battle against the opposing forces, and it is a tremendous opportunity for the soldiers and leaders of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team.
We're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, so when you go out there, the opposing forces, is that a big army?
It is. The opposing forces, we call them OPFOR. It's the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. It's an active duty cavalry regiment commanded by a great American who I'm friends with, so I'm going to be fighting him. It's one of his last rotations. I got to go spend about 3 days with him, and he opened his books to me and showed me what he did. But it is an active duty unit with a very storied history. It's the 11th ACR Black Horse Regiment. And so we're looking forward to that challenge and that opportunity and to, you know, test our mettle against theirs. So,
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to dig into that a little bit and find out how many troops and how much equipment are involved and what's going to happen out there in June at the National Training Center.
Sounds great, Tom.
We're speaking with Colonel Bob Interest on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jim Kellogg, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. This coming June, over 800 high schoolers will travel to Minnesota Boys State and Minnesota Girls State. They are premier programs in Minnesota for hands-on learning about grassroots democracy. The students will create their own parties, elect their own legislature and state officers, and become better citizens of our great nation. Please join the American Legion family still serving America. Contact us at mnlegion.org. That's mnlegion.org.
Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but also in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races with the common threads of patriotism and the love of service. We continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds in our ranks. We must reflect those whom we lead, serve, and protect. The time to appreciate diversity is today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, we're talking about this rotation that's coming up at the National Training Center out in California. Big event, really important event. And can you describe for us what are the logistics of this? You've got all kinds of equipment. You've got soldiers. You've got to take your brigade combat team halfway across the country and then go perform some missions.
Yeah, Tom, it is actually the largest deployment Minnesota has ever undertaken in the history of the Minnesota National Guard. And so, I mean, it is truly immense in scope. We've got about 4,000 soldiers from Minnesota going and 2,500 soldiers from around the country that'll be meeting us there. It's going to take 87 charter aircraft to move all the people. We've got over 2,000 pieces of equipment that we're drawing and shipping down to Fort Irwin from across the nation. So if you can imagine a train 9 miles long, that's the number of rail cars that we need to move our brigade. And so there's a huge effort that's beginning on in about a week to load all those rail cars out of Camp Ripley, Minnesota. You know, we've got a great team of dedicated professionals up there that are soldiers that will be assisting our brigade to get all those loaded on rail cars and move down to Fort Irwin, California, and over about the next 2.5-3 weeks. And so it is a huge logistical undertaking, and but I've been surrounded by a great group of soldiers and officers and NCOs, great teammates that have really cracked the code on this very complex problem.
And I'm sure Colonel St. Sauver and his team up there are ready to load up that train, put it together, and help support your mission.
Yeah, I think Colonel St. Sauver will be happy when the train just pulls out of Camp Ripley and stops interrupting his traffic flow. Colonel Lowell Cruz, our J4, which is our logistical officer, yeah, big tall guy, he is really the conductor, the orchestrator of this entire rail load effort as the senior logistician in the state. So
it's the right guy to oversee that
operation. Yeah, we're talking about a big man. So,
well, Colonel, once you get all that equipment and all your soldiers down to California, how long does this this training take, and just what happens out there in the desert?
Yeah, so Tom, a National Training Center rotation really has about 4 different phases in it. We do a reception staging onward integration, RSOI event for about 5 days where we do really are building combat power. And all the soldiers are completing the tasks, you know, getting vehicle staged, weapon systems calibrated, all of those types of things over about 5 days. And then we move into our 14 days of what we call in-the-box training. That's where the whole brigade, lock, stock, and barrel, moves downrange and out into the field environment. And the training lasts for about 14 days. And so during that 14 days, we do some operational training lanes with at about the company level. And then we do that for about 2 or 3 days. And then we begin force-on-force periods. And that is the kind of the laser tag, if you will. They're called MILES systems, and all the vehicles are set up with those. And so we do force-on-force training against the Black Horse Regiment, the 11th ACR out there. And then we also do live fire. And so every company element, which there's over 40 companies in my brigade, will have the opportunity to do a combined arms live fire exercise at Fort Irwin, shoot live tank rounds, live Bradley rounds, field artillery coming in at the same time. And if we can get it on station, we'll have Air Force jets dropping bombs. And so it'll be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for those company commanders. They will never be able to replicate that anywhere else in the Army. And then the last thing we do is a regeneration. We come out of the field after 14 days, and we spend about another 4 to 5 days trying to regenerate the brigade, its combat readiness, and head it back to Minnesota.
We're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, that's got to be a great experience for your commanders and your troops to spend some time not in the simulators. I've seen the tank simulators, but actually out in the tanks, moving and firing. That's got to be great stuff.
It is. It's one of the things that I consistently hear from soldiers across the brigade when I talk to them is, you know, let us get out in the field and do what we were trained to do. And this is the ultimate training event. And so there's a lot of excitement generated at the soldier level, at the junior NCO level to go out and, you know, test their mettle, prove their expertise and really take it to the op for. So
and some of that's expensive to do, which is why you use the simulators. But in this situation, now you get a chance to do the real thing.
Absolutely. There's no expenses spared on an NTC rotation. It is the Army expects us to fight like we would just in wartime.
So, sir, do they give you different scenarios each day, or is there an overall goal that you're supposed to achieve over the 14 days, or how does that work?
Well, it's interesting. I'm considered the rotational training unit, and so I'm an RTU commander. I am kept generally in the dark on what the mission will be until I get the operations order from our division headquarters. Now, they have developed a design and figured all this out, but I'm not privy to it yet, and that's by design because that adds stress to my my experience and my ability to execute mission command effectively. And so I can kind of guess because I've done a lot of reading and watched other rotations.
Studied previous events.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of after action reviews. I've been out on the ground 3 or 4 times to see other brigade commanders go through this experience. So I have a pretty good idea of what we're going to do. Generally, I have told the active duty Army, I want to do an attack. I want to do a defense. I want to do a movement to contact, and then you can throw something else at me. But those are 3 things that I want to do, and so generally they will fit those 3 types of missions into my 14 days in the box. So
maybe you'll get a chance to do a General Patton to do an end-around, sir.
It's certainly in our playbook, so we're prepared.
Colonel, it must be a great honor to participate in the first place in the National Training Center rotation. And you've said that the reason you've done that is you've earned it. Your readiness status is great. But what does this mean for your 1st Brigade Armored Combat Team for the future, for next year or the year after? Any idea?
Well, I recently made a Facebook post that got quite a bit of interest. You know, at the time of that post, I really didn't know. There was some talk about, when we come out of NTC, we'll be in our ready year. We'll be the highest trained brigade in the Army inventory, Armored Brigade Combat Team in the entire Army when we get done with NTC. And so, we are certainly, if the big Army or the nation called, you know, we would certainly be on the docket to potentially deploy. But, you know, at the time of my Facebook post and even at the time of today, I can tell you that I've not heard one word about a deployment of the brigade in an operational mission. As I indicated previously, there has been a lot of talk about trying to incorporate 1st Brigade units, 1st Armored Brigade units into various training exercises. And some of those are starting to solidify. So there's a 2 exercises in Europe in training year 2017 that are really starting to become a little bit more solid for us. We're starting to see some indicators and some communication from Europe about participating in those training exercises. And so it's not going to be the whole brigade, but it will be some portion of the brigade, probably about a battalion size element that we'll send over there to participate with our European partners and U.S. Army Europe sometime in 2017. So that's firming up, and we'll see where it goes.
So your reward for doing well and for being have good readiness status is more work. You're either going to do some more training or you're going to be deployed.
It's the Army way.
Sir, we just got about a minute left. Sounds like this is going to be an exciting rotation for all of your soldiers to go out to California. But for our listeners that are listening there today, you've been in the service for 30 years. What would you say to the young people thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just had the very, very great honor of swearing my 17-year-old daughter into the Minnesota National Guard 3 weeks ago. She joined as a medic, and my wife and I couldn't be more proud of that life choice she's made. What I will tell you is the National Guard really has been an exceptionally positive force in my life. And I can't speak for everybody, but it has afforded myself and my family great opportunities. You know, it is by far the most professional and rewarding experience that I've had in my entire life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. So, I mean, I certainly would encourage young people to go out and talk to the recruiters and explore that possibility.
Colonel, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today, and I wish you all the best of luck at the National Training Center rotation, and we'll look forward to getting a report from you in mid-July when you come back, and I'm hoping that you're going to come back saying that you took care of those guys in grand fashion, sir.
We're going to do it our best, Tom, and I do want to thank the families and employers and everybody who's supporting their service member to allow them to participate with us in June, so we couldn't do it without all of their support, too.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
There was Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on programs and services. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Highway Federal Credit Union. With over 63,000 members worldwide and over $1 billion in assets, Highway is dedicated to supporting military-connected members. Employees of Highway attend reintegration events to provide financial literacy education workshops and resume review for veterans seeking employment. Highway's president, David Bowden, serves as the chairman of the St. Paul Yellow Ribbon Network, one of the largest Yellow Ribbon Company networks in the state. Highway Federal Credit Union has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since June of 2013, and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and in this segment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about programs and services, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Chalateau.
Next week, we celebrate Armed Forces Day. America's men and women in uniform perform their duties with the utmost dignity, honor, and professionalism. Durable and sustainable peace is only possible by the efforts of the armed forces, both past and present, and their families. Our armed forces are also parents, spouses, partners, sons, and daughters. Members of the armed forces are forging a better future for our nation and the world. The freedoms we enjoy today would not be possible without their bravery, pride, courage, and sacrifice. I thank our armed forces for keeping America strong and secure.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalateau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Brad Lindsay, the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services, who works for Commissioner Chalateau. That's got to be a great boss to work for, isn't it, Brad?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Very, very honored to be working for him.
And I want to congratulate you. You were the interim Deputy Commissioner, but now you've accepted that position full time.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, I had about a year as the interim, and I guess after that little test, the commissioner decided I was worthy to hold on to it. So I appreciate his trust.
And he asked you, and you said, sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I know how that goes. Brad, you were in the military. Can you tell us a little bit about your service?
Sure. I went in the regular Army in about 1988. I was enlisted and served my 4 years. I served in Panama, was one of my deployments for those operations as a military policeman, and got out. Came to Minnesota, joined up with the reserves, where I spent about 10 years in the military police as well, and served in 2003, 2004 in Iraq as a squad leader.
And then you got involved in taking care of some of our veterans and soldiers, and I understand that in, what was it, 2008 and 2009, you were the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers.
That's correct. I was the Olmsted County Veteran Service Officer down in Rochester, and couple years after I started that job, the other county service officers in the state decided I was worthy to be their president for that year. So,
and as most of our listeners know, we have the current president each year on the show about every 4 weeks talking about some of the most important things that the county veteran service officers are doing out there. And one of the things that we always talk about is for our listeners that are veterans, go find your DD-214, your discharge certificate, and go visit your county veteran service officer. Absolutely. Get registered. Get to know them. You might not need them now, but someday you will, or maybe your family might. And even if you can't find your DD-214, go see them. They might be able to find it for you.
Absolutely. They are the first stop for any veteran in the state of Minnesota. That is correct.
Now, you are the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services. Can you tell us what all does that entail?
Well, the short version of it, the agency has two deputies. One is in charge of the five state veterans' homes, and then the Programs and Services Deputy, which is my position, is in charge of basically
all the rest.
Everything else, right? The state cemeteries, all of our state-specific veterans' benefits, and all of our advocacy programs that assist our veterans in obtaining their federal benefits from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
So then you're working closely with the county veteran service officers and the tribal veteran service officers.
Absolutely. The tribal veteran service officers, we actually have a number of them that actually work for our agency that are state tribal veteran service officers that are out on the reservations. And then there are some actual tribal employed veteran service officers who we also work and interact with daily and through our offices at the claims at St. Paul and Fargo. So
you've got a lot of things on your plate, it looks like.
Absolutely, and all across the state. We got people from Grand Portage all the way down to Preston.
Well, I want to ask you about one of the programs that the commissioner's been working on hard, and I know you've been working on hard, is veterans homelessness, and the goal was to eliminate it by sometime this year, I think. How are we doing on that goal?
It's a work in progress, Tom. Actually, the goal was to end it by December of last year. It's one of the Governor Dayton's initiatives, and it was also originally started. The big initiative was with the VA Secretary Shinseki. I think we're a couple more VA secretaries into that now, but it's been a challenge. We've had quite a bit of success. Every year there's an annual point in time count in January where folks go out into the shelters and the different facilities and out under bridges and things like that and try to locate the homeless. This year we found about 276 veterans. 245 of those luckily were sheltered, either in transitional housing or homeless shelters. So very few actually out on the streets per se. And that's about a 57% decrease since 2010. So we're making progress, but it's slow. And the ones that remain are those with some of the toughest barriers to finding homeless.
It's great work. We're speaking with Brad Lindsay, the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Brad, that's a big goal to eliminate veterans homelessness, and one that I think the day you match that goal and you eliminate it, tomorrow there could be two more new homeless veterans. So you've right. just got to stay after it and stay after it, and doing a great job with that, working with, I'm sure, with the MACV and
Absolutely.
Stand downs coming up this summer. And I'm sure you're involved in that as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. That's the truth to it. We'll actually never really end veterans homelessness because, like you said, tomorrow someone will be homeless again. But the goal is to build the capacity to be able to react quickly when a veteran is homeless and get them out of that situation as quickly as possible. One of our biggest challenges right now is the availability of affordable housing. There's in Minnesota, there's a very low occupancy rate in housing, so that tends to drive the prices up of available housing. And so someone who's more low income and has other barriers, criminal records, things like that, makes them a lot more difficult to get them housed.
And for our listeners, if any of them know of a homeless veteran, there's help available. All they have to do is give you a call, right?
Absolutely. We have a homeless veterans registry. That's one of the big things that we started. For years, we would get these annual point in time counts, but we didn't really know who those people were. So with this registry, we're trying to identify each of those people that makes up that 276 number and work a plan for them to get them housed. The registry is a big part of that, and you can refer someone to that registry through our MinnesotaVeteran.org website or by calling our LinkVet line, which is the 888-LINKVET, and they'll take the information and get the person on the registry, and someone can start working on it.
Now, that number 888-LINK-VET, is that just for homeless information or is that for anything veteran-related?
That is absolutely everything. That's everything you ever wanted to know for Minnesota Veterans Programs. It's on that site. It's got live chat available. It's got frequently asked questions, and it's got folks that are there answering the phones to do it live as well. So
the real two important things for our veterans out there is go see your county veteran service officer because they're trained to know where all the resources are. And if you don't have the opportunity to do that, just call 888-LINK-VET.
Right.
And you can put them together with the appropriate resource that they need.
Absolutely. And if you need to find your county veteran service officer, you can find them on LINK-VET. So.
Or they can go to your website because I think there's a pretty good list there, isn't there?
There is. Yes, sir. MinnesotaVeteran.org.
And how's that new website doing? I think it's much easier to use than the old one.
I think so. We just had another update to it within the last couple of weeks here. And a little more user-friendly, a little easier to find things and search. So we hope so.
And what was the address of that website?
That's MinnesotaVeteran.org.
MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, 888-LINK-VET. Brad, we just got about a minute left. I know that you've got some partnerships that you work hard on. Is there any one of those you want to talk about? You want to talk, say anything else about MACV while we're at it, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans?
Sure. MACV is one of our major partners in our homeless initiatives. And, working with nonprofits often makes it much easier to do things that sometimes the government, just because of the way systems are and the way payments are made, are difficult to get done in a timely manner. So using organizations like MACV, we also have great relationship with Lutheran Social Services and Hearth Connection. There's just several that we're working with on our homeless initiatives to try to tap into those resources and those extra pieces to put the whole puzzle together and solve this veterans homelessness issue.
So the one thing for our listeners to remember is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is here to take care of veterans on anything that they need. You can either take care of them or get them to somebody that can.
Absolutely. I can do everything except fix the brakes on your car, but we may be able to give you a grant for that.
And get you to a good veteran-owned business that can do it for you.
Absolutely.
There we go. Brad, we got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the new cemetery down in Preston. We're speaking to Brad Lindsay, Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Stephen Whited, Adjutant of the DEV Minnesota, looking for volunteer drivers to help transport our Minnesota veterans to their appointments at VA medical facilities around the state. The DEV Minnesota has provided vans for this use and work with our county veteran service officers, provides transportations to get our veterans to their medical appointments. We need volunteer drivers all over Minnesota. Please call the DEV Minnesota headquarters to help with this mission. Please call 651-291-1212 or visit davmn.org. Please volunteer today.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Brad Lindsay, the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Brad, there's a whole list of items that you take care of. You've said there's two deputy commissioners. One takes care of the homes, and you take care of all the rest. And we've talked about programs, services, claims, tribal service officers, Gold Star families. But one of the things that I think you wanted to tell me about was a newly launched program called SOAR, S-O-A-R.
Yes, Tom. Yep. That's really a piece of our homeless initiative. SOAR stands for Social Security Outreach, Access, and Recovery. So as I was saying earlier, with barriers, one of the barriers is often just income itself. The veteran just doesn't have enough money to be able to afford an apartment or rent someplace. So this is another option. One thing we always look at is the eligibility for veterans benefits. So if someone's got a disability that may be service connected, we take those applications and get those processed, and hopefully we can get them some income from those sources or a veteran's pension. But a piece that's been somewhat missing over the years is that Social Security piece. You know, often with your homeless, there is a mental health condition or other disability. And we have a person now, our SOAR program person, who will assist those veterans who are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless in applying for Social Security disability or Social Security income. So it walks them all the way through the process, takes the application, meets with them, collects the medical records from their doctors and physicians, gets anything that's missing, puts a packet together. And this is a Social Security program that it has a lot higher success rate than an individual doing it on its own. So it's kind of the same thing we do in our claims office with the VA process, but now we have someone who's working that Social Security side of things to get the vets that income.
So to help the homeless veterans, you got to get them stabilized physically and mentally, get them some kind of income coming in, and then get them a door.
And then find them the house, right?
So they can have some privacy and get back on the road to recovery and get back into society sometimes come back to work for somebody like MACV and help other veterans.
Absolutely, and we do see that, you bet.
Brad, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the state cemetery system. We've got the one in Little Falls. You've opened one down in Preston. There's two more coming up, but I know there's a big dedication event coming up in Preston.
That is correct. Last Veterans Day, we kind of did what I was calling a soft opening of Preston. We started taking veterans for burial, but we weren't fully staffed. Our facilities were still had a few tweaks here and there that needed to be done after construction was completed. And so we've had the winter to ramp up operations, and we're fully staffed now. And those staff have all been to VA training down in St. Louis on burials and systems. And we're ready to launch it full scale for the public to come on in and enjoy it and see what a fabulous facility it is and what an honor we're trying to provide to those veterans who have passed away in southeast Minnesota.
Brad, we had Dave Swantek on, who works for you on the cemeteries, and he described it as the rolling hills down there in Preston, so we kind of refer to it as the Arlington of the Midwest. He says it's going to be beautiful.
It already is beautiful. It just the site itself, before we even had any facilities built, was one of the most beautiful areas I think you'd find in the state. And, you know, like you said, we have two more cemeteries planned in the future that we've been authorized by the legislature. But I don't think we're ever going to be able to surpass the beauty of the one in Preston.
And over Memorial Day weekend, you're going to have a cemetery dedication event.
That's correct. On May 29th, which is the Sunday right before Memorial Day, we will have a dedication event, which begins at 1 p.m. With some music and things like that. And then we're going to have several speakers. Tim Walz, I believe, Congressman Tim Walz, is our keynote speaker that day. We're going to have a flyover. Jerry Kaiser from the United Veterans Legislative Council was good enough to help us arrange that. So it's going to be quite a send-off and a dedication, and we hope everyone will come out and participate and honor those veterans that we've already laid to rest there and those for future generations.
So that's open to the public. It's down by Rochester. It's the Preston Cemetery Dedication Event, May 29th of Memorial Day weekend at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yep, correct.
I'd like to have a good crowd down there for that.
Definitely we would. It's right south of Preston, so it's pretty easy to find. You can't really miss it. It's right off the highway.
Brad, good to see you again here, and thanks for taking the time to come over.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That was Brad Lindsay, Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is the Acting Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Kurt Thielen. Kurt, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. As always, thanks for having us on so we can talk about veterans issues and news events going on here at the Minneapolis VA.
Sir, I understand you've got a new way that you're going to reach out to veterans on campus.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a new approach for mental health counseling that we've been piloting with some of our college-aged veterans. It uses a piece of software called Jabber, which is fairly available commercially. Essentially, it's a fancy way of saying Skype, so it uses a video connection for communicating between the veteran and the provider. We have six mental health providers here who are signed on to help do that with veterans using that technology. First one began back in March at Century College. And all they have to do is, before they can enroll, is to have some evaluation here at the mental health intake clinic. And then our telehealth team will equip them with the software instructions for use on their computer.
Here we go into the next century, sir.
Absolutely.
I understand that the Minneapolis VA is going to host a job fair as well.
We are indeed. We have a job fair here on the 1st of June. It's going to be at our main campus here, One Veterans Drive in Minneapolis, from 9 to 11:30 in our auditorium. There'll be 20 area employers will be here, and they'll be ready to hire folks on the spot. The Minneapolis VA is also participating in this, and we're looking for employees as well, both full and part-time positions for both us and the community employers. So bring your resume and dress business casual. No appointments are necessary. We have VA staff that will be standing by to kind of prep people for their interviews. And there's a link on our homepage, if you go to our normal www.minneapolis.va.gov, on the left side it says News and Events, and that's where you'll find more information on this if you're looking for it.
So Kurt, are you still looking to add to that fabulous staff of nursing care people out there?
I don't think we can have too many nurses here.
So there's plenty of openings.
Absolutely.
All right, then we're coming up on Memorial Day. Have you got some things going on out there?
Another Memorial Day event like the VA always has at the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. That's on the 30th. It starts with a wreath laying at 9:45. There's a short parade at 10 o'clock, followed by ceremony and speakers. And the guest speaker this year is Minnesota native, Brigadier General Joseph Kelly, United States Army retired. I think we're familiar with him here in Minnesota. He's now the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management in the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Additionally, there'll be some remarks by Senator Amy Klobuchar and Governor Mark Dayton.
General Kelly's a terrific speaker. That'll be a great event, sir. And I understand Memorial Day weekend that there's an open house at the Fort Snelling Chapel as well.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
And we've had Chaplain Beal on the show, and think he does services on Sundays at 11 o'clock, and that's a great place to take the family.
Yep.
Kurt, I understand that you've also got another town hall coming up.
Yeah, we're continuing our ongoing quarterly town hall, veteran town halls. This one's going to be on the 20th of June, and that'll be here also at the Minneapolis VA. We usually rotate those around the state and sometimes over at the federal building. The VBA will be here with us as well as the NCA, and we'll be able to answer any questions folks will have. This is our ninth town hall now, and attendance isn't what it used to be, but we think it's a really important outreach tool, and we are happy to have folks come in and either ask questions or give us some feedback on the services, good or bad, that they've been receiving.
June 20th from 5 to 7 p.m. And, Kurt, are you learning some things from these town halls?
Yeah, we're learning a lot of things. You know, our focus is really on customer service, and when we get feedback on that, we take that to heart, and we go back to the departments and make sure that they're doing things the way we want to have them done and engaging the veterans in a positive way.
Sir, we've got about a minute left. I think you also have an appreciation event coming up.
Yeah, one more quick thing, and that's an appreciation event on the 15th of June at 3 and 5 o'clock. There'll be kind of two starting times for that. They're for our community providers that are caring for our veterans in the community. It's kind of a recognition for them, and also we're going to be signing network providers up for a revised Veterans Choice Program that allows them to work directly with our VA staff for the scheduling process, particularly in circumstances when the contractor hasn't been timely and we have the ability to do it ourselves. So we think it's kind of a positive thing, and we want to get as many providers signed up for that as we possibly can, and again, continue to provide good quality care, not only here at the VA, but in the community itself.
Kurt, I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day to visit with us again.
Always happy to do that, and again, thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was Kurt Thielen, the acting director for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We have one mention today for veterans and current service members. Please join Chaplain John Morris as he shares a dynamic message of faith in and out of the foxhole of everyday life at the Straight Talk Breakfast on Friday, May 20th, 2016 at the Prom Center, Oakdale. For registration information about this free event for veterans and currently serving service members, visit searchmn.org or call 952-929-0628. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Robert Interest, Brad Lindsay, Kurt Thielen from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.